Welcome to The Marketing Menu, the delicious podcast with regular, relevant content to help your business grow and thrive. Jargon-free, easy-to-understand marketing tools with effective tips and tricks, and guaranteed no cheese.
Hello there, thanks for tuning in, and you're listening to The Marketing Menu, brought to you by Nikki and Liz. Hi there, Nikki, how are you today, and what's new in the world of marketing?
Hello, Liz, I'm well, thank you. And that's a good question, actually, because I thought since it's still only January, it might be a great time to have a look at some marketing predictions for the year ahead. I guess it's always a good idea to take stock and look at how trends are evolving, so I've been doing a bit of background reading.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I was thinking about this a little over Christmas too, actually, as we seem to have an Alexa household this year. So obviously with the increasing popularity of gadgets such as Alexa and Google Play, together with everyone's increasing reliance on smart technology now, I was thinking how voice control and inevitably voice search is going to undoubtedly become a bigger opportunity for marketing, particularly in the consumer markets.
Yeah, and I understand all the tech giants are really heavily investing in this area at the moment. I understand that voice-activated TVs are shortly going to be available, although for the time being, apparently data suggests that it's the millennials. Now, listeners, those are people who are broadly described as being born after 1981 or after. Now, apparently they make up the largest group of home assistant users. That's what this tech's all called, home assistant. The marketing data firm eMarketer does also predict, though, that by 2019, almost 40% of all millennials are going to have a smart assistant in their home.
Wow. And apparently Amazon has more than 70% of the US market share for digital home assistants. I suppose the Echo with Alexa built in was the first digital assistant introduced to the market. So other brands are really still playing catch up. But obviously, from a business marketing standpoint, the Echo, Google Home, and now Apple's HomePod aren't just for shopping on Amazon.
Yeah, of course, because now homeowners can search for things nearby, you know, find a business, obviously connect with news, weather and events as well, as units are moving more towards voice calling. Although I understand currently you need somebody at the other end to have a device as well.
All right. But it's important for businesses to recognise that Amazon has been experimenting with monetising voice search through the Echo. And, of course, Google Home has the backing of the world's primary search engine. Mm. So even though the Google Home is lagging behind the Amazon Echo at the moment, they've only got 24% of the market share, the system has a big opportunity to catch up. Many experts agree that digital home assistants will eventually get better and will have people interact with them more, at answering questions typically left to search.
So, for example, you're sort of thinking that you could say, where's the top pizza place near me? Who is the local 24/7 plumbers in my area? What hours is so-and-so open on Saturday? That sort of thing.
Yep, that's right. So, in other words, the digital assistant market moves into an area that's comfortable with Google.
Yeah.
Amazon utilises what it calls Amazon Choice Recommendation, which are selected taking into account popularity, rating and reviews, availability, shipping speed, and other factors that they're not currently disclosing.
Oh, it's a bit naughty.
Hmm. So I guess the moral of this story is get your products listed on Amazon.
Didn't Google experiment with ads in Google Home last year as well almost universal condemnation? And I think they stopped the test.
Yeah, there's not really an appetite for people to hear traditional advertising in their home when they ask for the weather.
Absolutely. But I guess what we'll be seeing, though, is something akin to Google AdWords steering voice searches towards certain businesses that obviously compete and pay for those top spots.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, quite a lot of people are sceptical about this. Google does like advertising revenue, but they also have to rely very much on, you know, the public trusting the authenticity of their results.
That's true.
You know, we're all great fans, I think, of Google in the main, aren't we? So it's possible that those purchased voice search results, you know, might erode that trust.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think they've got to be very, very careful about that. I suppose the truth is that digital assistants are still pretty new and they're working out major kinks and features on the go.
Yeah.
Plus, companies like Google and Amazon are still trying to figure out monetization for search on their devices. But I think all marketers can safely agree that it's a matter of when not if, they figure out how to build ads into their digital assistants. There's a whole field for voice search marketing that can take off. Imagine Google paid ads with an extension for search.
Ooh.
There'll be new types of optimization for us to study and adapt to when that happens.
But can anything be done about it now, though?
Well, it's said that we should do a lot more to optimise local listings and make sure all information, especially that contained on Google, is up to date. Others also suggest the use of new Google features such as Google Posts.
Wowza. So what does the future hold then for search marketing? I'm not sure whether to be excited or dismayed about all this from a marketing standpoint.
We'll have to see. However, we'll keep on top of updates in the world of digital assistants and report back to you listeners as we learn more. Who knows, maybe Apple will surprise the world and release the HomePod later this year to universal acclaim and love.
Okay, well, that's certainly going to give us some food for thought. So what other predictions then should we be aware of, and how can marketing a small business, you know, change over the next year? Together, I guess, with some ideas on how smaller businesses could capitalise.
Well, pen and paper at the ready, listeners. Here are the key things you need to consider in your marketing activity this year.
Okay, so the first one is video. Now, video is still the mother of all content across all social media, specifically, I believe, Snapchat and Instagram stories. Now, obviously, having native video content which can be promoted through your social networks will become more crucial in 2018. Apparently, live video, though, is taking over. According to Facebook, users spend 3 times more time watching live videos than a video that's no longer live. Didn't realise that. And they also comment more than 10 times more during live videos. And that's very interesting.
Yes, and Instagram stories will continue to dominate. No surprise here. With over 250 million daily users of Instagram stories, there's a significant amount of momentum behind this format, and it's showing no signs of slowing down. I don't think anyone would be surprised if half of Instagram users are using the Stories feature by the end of 2018. Mm. While this format was originally invented by Snapchat, Instagram has seen massive success by replicating the functionality into their product, and it's paying off big time.
Now that's interesting, especially if you remember that our last podcast was using videos for marketing when we talked about videos with Andrew Plant.
Yes, and you can find that podcast, number 22, on our website, themarketingmenu.com.
So that might be a good place to start after we finish this broadcast.
Indeed. But I spotted some good news from a Content Marketing Institute and Marketing Profs report. More than 60% of B2B marketers report their content marketing strategies are more effective than previous years. So marketers are certainly getting savvier.
That's good. And other news, apparently now, I like this one, Liz, pop-ups are decreasing.
Hurrah!
Hurrah! So Google's initiative apparently to penalise pop-ups on smartphones has started a movement of getting rid of pop-ups on websites. And I suppose we can expect the same to happen with the desktop in a few months to come. So we should expect better designed and less intrusive adverts.
That is so good to hear. I noticed that our email provider won't allow us to have pop-ups as a matter of course on our website. I wonder if that relates to that directly.
Yeah, I think quite possibly. Other news is Instagram has overtaken Facebook in popularity in the marketing arena. In 2018, it's apparently expected that 70% of brands are going to have an Instagram account. There are approximately 800 million people using Instagram each month, which is roughly 50% of Instagram users relying on the platform to conduct product research, apparently.
Yeah.
So I guess marketers have access to a massive sea of potential customers where Instagram's part of the mix. Mm. Also on a similar theme, now LinkedIn has seen an increase in business-to-business marketers. Now we know that Twitter has, you know, continued to struggle over the last year, but LinkedIn has made some great platform improvements in 2017. The platform also saw useful improvements to the LinkedIn ad platform. So apparently business-to-business marketers are going to be able to utilise LinkedIn a little bit more in the year ahead.
Well, listeners, if you're enjoying this week's Marketing Menu podcast, please do make sure you write a review for us for your streaming service when this item has finished, as we've just talked about the importance of reviews. We're a growing channel and we'd really like to help as many growing businesses as possible. And remember, you can also sign up for updates and other marketing news items which regularly feature on our website, themarketingmenu.com.
So I guess we're saying then, Liz, that content is still king, but your strategy should switch to supporting every stage of the buyer's journey.
Yeah.
I just say that?
Yes, and there's also increasing evidence that transparency is crucial. Millennials that you were talking about particularly want companies to be more authentic, transparent and driven to give back to society. But consumers overall want that same transparency. It's not just about what customers think about what your brand stands for or not. It's the willingness and ability to take action, to speak up, make a choice, defend, boycott, support, etc. Activist consumers aren't just the vocal minority anymore. They're increasing in numbers and know the power that they have. Mm-hmm. In the coming year, brands should be focused on creating customer advocates from activists to ensure their long-term viability.
God, it all sounds a bit political to me. but yes, and aligned with that point, consumers are increasingly expecting better delivery as well. That's changed a lot in recent years, actually, isn't it, our expectations on delivery. Consumers will have an increased expectation from brands of all kinds, you know, no matter what the business size, really. Voice assistance, same-day delivery, on-demand content, you know, means that both business-to-consumer and those business-to-business marketers must find innovative ways to delight those customers with, nearly instant service. Mm. So overall, then, we're asking people to invest in video content.
And yes, can I interrupt you there a moment, Nikki, to say, in fact, we're making some of our podcasts available on YouTube to do just this, aren't we?
Yes, and you can find the Marketing Menu now on YouTube. So please do check this out, as it is early days for us. We know it's obviously a very crowded platform. In fact, I'm going to investigate SlideShare as an alternative, but I haven't told you that bit yet, Liz.
No, that's news to me, but gosh, all in the day's work, Nikki. So let's go back to our roundup. The key takeaways then are: make sure your Google Places is optimised and all up to date. Invest in video, that's absolutely crucial. Make sure you're looking at your customer journeys. Don't forget about storytelling. Don't forget we cover a lot of these subjects in our previous podcasts, particularly storytelling. Ensure you're on LinkedIn and are using it effectively. And if you've any questions or concerns about LinkedIn, we do have our Savvy Social Media course, which we can highly recommend to anybody wanting to know how to use these social media platforms more effectively.
Yeah, because that covers storytelling as well and what sort of content you should be sharing and designing a content calendar.
Absolutely.
There's heaps of information in there.
Have a look for our Savvy Social Media course on our website, themarketingmenu.com. Look at making delivery options fast and accessible. Consider what you're saying to consumers and be authentic, particularly if millennials are your key audience. Mm-hmm. And finally, although it's challenging for marketers to weave new technologies into their goals for 2018, do keep an eye out for the opportunities as they are genuinely exciting.
Yeah, I think so, definitely. I think we should also remind listeners about the impact of the European Union GDPR or the General Data Protection Regulation stuff that's coming in April. That's correct, isn't it? And what this is going to mean for business, which, don't personally believe is yet fully understood by all marketers.
Yeah, this may and will have a large-scale impact well beyond marketing. But in areas like digital and social, it will most likely have a major impact. Mm-hmm. Connected to this is the continued growth of fraud combined with the desires for privacy, which will put digital and social media work in the sights of many competing agendas.
Yeah, I think so. So another reminder then, listeners, if you want to learn more about the GDPR particularly, then you can do so by tuning into podcast number 21, which was titled How Will GDPR Affect Marketing Your Business with Mark Gracie from flavorfy.com, where we did actually discuss this from a marketing standpoint. So do head over there to that podcast after this.
Once they've listened to podcast 22 on videos.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, so now finally, and I know I'm adding another finally here, I think, I wanted to share a new marketing term I learned this week, Liz.
Oh, not more jargon, Nikki. You know we do try to avoid that on the marketing menu.
Yeah, I know. Well, slightly, but it's one I'm sure that's going to become more commonplace, which is why I mention it. It's AR, okay? So AR, and apparently it stands for augmented reality.
Okay, what's that then?
So Pokemon Go and Snapchat, they introduced the masses to the concept of AR, in which, you know, users use their phone as a lens and view an augmented reality. But in the past year, apparently, marketers have really begun to take on what was essentially a novelty and spin it into a major marketing campaign success.
Wow.
So although marketers have been experimenting for a little while, recent advances in technology have obviously resulted in marketing campaigns that incorporate this AR technology in truly revolutionary ways that's made a massive impression on consumers. Recent standout campaigns that have incorporated AR have been fueled by advancements in things like, obviously, you've got facial recognition and computer vision now in general. And that technology is, by becoming more precise, means that AR technology could become, you know, almost as common as the flashlight on our phones.
Interesting. So have you got any examples to share?
Well, a couple of good examples, yes. Well, IKEA have launched an AR kit. Now, apparently it's not available in the UK, guys, at the moment. It's only in the US, but it is about to be launched, I believe, this year. And this is one example. And effectively what happens is it places the power of AR into the hands of the consumer. So the IKEA Place app then lets you place IKEA products virtually, so to speak, in your own space, and gives you an accurate representation of the size. So you could be looking at, say, a new sofa and how it would look in your own home. Effectively, what you have to do is you have to scan your room and then you choose the piece of furniture from their catalogue, I presume, and then drag and drop it to see how it looks actually within your room, so
Brilliant.
To speak.
Brilliant.
So as I say, it's not available in the UK yet as far as we're, you know, aware. Then there was the Get a Virtual Makeover with L'Oreal. Now, L'Oreal has created branded AR apps like Makeup Genius and Style My Hair that lets users test out makeup and hairstyles on their selfies before buying. Although, how you can buy a hairstyle, I'm not really sure.
I suppose makeup and hairstyling products can be tricky to purchase online.
Yeah.
So, especially if the product is new to a consumer, L'Oreal's genius is in bringing the makeup counter experience right to the palm of the consumer's hands with the aid of this AR. And it boosts consumer confidence by allowing them to have a purchase preview, which in turn can boost sales.
So obviously I think that big brands are going to make a lot more of this technology this year, but although, you know, to what end I'm not quite sure. It could just be a case of showing off for showing off's sake, I think. Perhaps listeners will get in touch with their own thoughts on this. So I think that today concludes today's Marketing Menu podcast.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed that. What a great topic to get us rolling. Actually, there's a lot here to take in, and I guess people may need to re-listen. But one helpful thing to point out is that we do offer a free transcript on our website, themarketingmenu.com. So if you're not already on our website, head over there to download your copy.
Yeah, and of course, guys, we are here to tailor the content around your needs. So if you do have any questions, do please get in touch. But most of all, do share our channel with others who you feel may benefit by tuning in.
Before we wrap up, we should say a big thank you for tuning in, and we're super excited that you did. We know there are loads of podcasts and webinars out there, and we've specifically designed the Marketing Menu to offer practical, accessible marketing ideas that you can put into practice. We very much hope that some of what we've shared today resonates with you and allows you to make some real business changes. Let us know how you get on.
Yeah, so thanks again, and do tune in again on the 31st of January when we're going to be discussing award ceremonies, won't we, Liz? That's certainly one for you.
Yes, and I may even have a guest for us, Nikki. Yeah, so thanks everyone. It's goodbye from me, Liz Gordon, until next time.
And me, Nikki Matthews. Goodbye.
You've been listening to The Marketing Menu, brought to you by Nikki Matthews and Liz Gordon. Episodes are every 2 weeks on Wednesdays. Please share, subscribe, or add reviews, and stay in touch for more bite-sized marketing tasters for growing businesses.